This is the Dean, Show. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dean Show. Today we're going to be answering one of your questions, so don't go anywhere. I got something to read to you so we can all benefit when we come back here in the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean, Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sheikh Kareem here on the Dean Show.
How are you?
How are things in Denver?
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, some people think that, you know, Muslims are bringing havoc, so they're trying to, you know, get people all wound up and scared. But we started with peace. You said it's peaceful. Are Muslims bringing peace or are they bringing havoc?
A Muslim must bring peace wherever he is. Must be with a smile, must be... That's how we should be.
We shouldn't be just like, salam alaikum.
No. You see, salam is the word, but it really also, you must carry the spirit of it. Salam means peace. So not only the word, you rather have to carry the spirit of peace. And, you know, that's how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, was, and this is how he penetrated hearts, because of that peaceful approach of about things and to others. And I know it's hard, you know, it's hard sometimes. We all get tested, we all go through hardships, but do it for the sake of Allah. Do it for the sake of Allah, because whenever you carry that name Muhammad, Ahmad, Ismail, a Muslim name, or you have the appearance and look of a Muslim, you're presenting Islam. And this is what will make a difference, Eddie, in here. You see, a lot of people are asking why the da'wah is not reaching its goal here. We've been trying, our numbers are increasing. Why? I tell them this. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, al-Hadith al-Bukhari, at one stage, actually, he decided to leave Mecca. Because, again, he was going through the oppression and the injustice of non-Muslims at the very beginning. So he arrived at a place called Jeddah, near the Red Sea, about to take a ship and go to Abyssinia. So one of the non-Muslims, kafir, non-Muslims, he was actually one of the leaders of the tribe in the Arabia. His name is Ibn al-Dighinna, Sayyid al-Qara. He's the leader of a tribe called al-Qara. So he saw him by the seaside, and he's about to get in the ship. He said, "Where are you going, Abu Bakr?" He said, "I'm leaving Mecca. I cannot worship Allah freely. I'm going through, you know, I can't wear my hijab for a Muslim woman in America. I cannot, have the look of a Muslim, you know, having a beard, and because I'm singled out, and I lose my job if I pray, and so forth." You know what this non-Muslim said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? You know what he said to him? "Mithluk la yakhruj wa la yukhruj." Someone like you should not leave, nor he should be expelled. Why? He said to him, "Because you're generous to your guest. You stand for the truth. And you help the needy." He mentioned his character. You see, a non-Muslim care less how many rak'ahs you pray at night, whether you do qiyam. I'm not belittling this, so I'm not. Please don't misunderstand me. But he looks at your character. Who are you on the side? You know Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, the companion, he used to live in Ghifar.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the companions, by the way, he worshipped Allah according to the millah of Ibrahim. And he heard about this messenger, this person in Mecca claiming that he's a messenger. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't know. He heard a rumor that there is somebody in Mecca is claiming that he's a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a brother, his name is Unais. He said, "Ya Unais, go and check this man out for me." So Unais went to Mecca and he sat around the Kaaba. And he's watching the Prophet. Like, he came back to Abu Dharr and he told him one statement. رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَأْمُرُ بِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I saw a man who's commanding good character.
Good character.
Yes.
So if we got good character, people who are having good character are not spreading havoc.
No.
They're people like who are calling to peace, Muslims.
Right.
And Islam means peace, meaning if you want to get peace, you got to submit to the owner of peace.
Right.
And this is what it's all about.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what will make the difference at the end of the day. So I must say peace.
Mm-hmm.
I must... You know, subhanAllah, we try it plastic. Sometimes you have to do it plastic. I mean, begin with a plastic.
And,
you know, more plastic, and then it ends up to be
and
natural.
And then it'll be natural.
It becomes natural.
So this is what the Muslims are about.
Yeah.
So tell us now. Now, I got the question.
All right.
I opened the show and I said, look, we got to read the question. So you're the person that's qualified, God willing, to help give us some advice. People go to doctors if they have a disease and something. But many of us, we have the disease of the heart. And this is more important because the pills might fix you up and you might heal your bone if it's broke. But man, when the heart is rusted, it needs that
polish.
Polish. No. So let's get some polish here.
Okay.
So tell us, the sister, look, I think there's a sister. She says, message, love your show. Sister needs a push, title.
Right.
Okay, so she said, for years, my husband has been growing and improving in his deen, the way of life of all the messengers of God, Islam.
Yes.
So, and for years, he has been nicely trying to get me to wear the hijab. That's the fashion from the seven heavens, from the creator, right? So he's been for years trying to get me to wear the hijab, and for years, I've refused. I just can't seem to find the courage to wear it. My parents are Muslims, more cultural in brackets it says, and it's strange, but they are against the hijab also. And I feel they would disown me if I put it on. I'm also nervous as to how my friends would react. It's eating away at me, and I feel Allah, the Creator, keeps sending me signs. Now the question is, am I being ungrateful by not wearing it? What about my parents? What am I going to do?
Allahu Akbar.
That's the question, Sheikh. Let's turn this into a program, I thought. You know, we can discuss this, and inshallah, at the end, the sister will shed a tear, her heart will soften, she's going to run and put the hijab on.
Can I tell you something that I think I've done in a previous show with you, but here it is. Again, the religion is creed, aqidah, and sharia. Sharia is laws, commands. The hijab is the sharia, law, a law. But the aqidah is missing here. In the heart of my sister. And I'm not being judgmental of her, but you know, we all need knowledge. I wanna base this on a story. The story of the hijab. Aisha radiallahu anha is the narrator of this one. She says this when the verse regarding the command for the women to wear the hijab was revealed. قول الله تعالى in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنَّ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَنْ يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ الآية. Because a lot of the viewers, they say the hijab is not in the Quran. No, it's in the Quran. The immigrants, the women, the wives of the immigrants, as soon as this verse was revealed, you know, Arab women, they used to have around them something called المنطق. Something that they wrap around their waist. They tore this and they covered right away.
They didn't hesitate?
No. Because a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
They were connected with Allah.
Yes. They knew that you have to please Allah. You have no choice. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا. Look at this verse, Eddie. Look at this verse, sister. I hope you're watching us. It is not befitting for someone who want to be a believer, whether he is male or female. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides a matter, that they have a choice. They have a choice. No choice. You have no choice, sister. I think a lot of our Muslim sisters, they think hijab is just a religious symbol, like the cross in Christianity, or they call this what, mamka or humka.
Mm-hmm.
La. The hijab is a religious requirement for a Muslim sister. It's like praying five times a day. You have no choice. It is not befitting for a believing man or a believing woman. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to do something, that you have a choice, that you have an option. Or you're intimidated by other people. Unless if your life is threatened, that's another issue. But you're afraid now that you're going to displease your family. But meanwhile, you are displeasing Allah. I tell you, my sister, your family will find other ways to be displeased with you. And I base this on also in an authentic hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you try to displease Allah, if you displease Allah, or you, here it is, man arda an-nasa bisakhatillah, if you try to please people at the expense of the displeasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make those people displeased with you. I see that you need to take a break, but here it is. Sister, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see that your family will be behind you on this.
Allah will make them pleased with you.
Yes.
We're going to get to the rest of the hadith when we come back, and he mentions this. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You think these things are going to bring you happiness? You know why you keep going back to the club and you keep going back to these desires? Because you never find satisfaction. It's going to end up causing you, if it hasn't already, a lot of pain. You think you're happy? You're kidding yourself. You really are. What we are offering in Islam, what we have found in Islam for ourselves, is a means by which our hearts are at peace. They're at rest. They're not discontent. We are pleased with what we have.
If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Deen Show, with our special guest, Sheikh Kareem, Imam in Denver, and you deal with these issues all the time. You've been an Imam a long time, you know, and we want to get from your knowledge so we can benefit, and so, inshallah, we can implement and we can do this way of life, Islam, submission to the will of God, so we can avoid the hellfire, because death is a reality, and we want to get to Jannah, and the way to get there is to please our Creator before we meet our Creator, and now, we're talking about, we're answering a question. Sister wants a push. She wants this encouragement, so we're giving it, inshallah. So you mentioned the hadith. Continue from there. If you work to please the people at the expense of displeasing Allah, Allah will be displeased with you.
Here is what it says.
Yeah.
مَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ. Whosoever tries to please people. And regardless whoever it is, whether you mentioned your family in your question.
Family, friends.
So you're trying to please your family and your friends, but at the expense of the displeasure of Allah. You see, we need to understand that the concept of me loving you and I'm loving you, it's not. We have really nothing to do with it. Maybe we need to explain that concept in a minute. You see, we love with that limb, right? The heart. Isn't that?
Yes.
I mean, I will love you with the hand. I just, you know, I love you with the heart. Okay, can I say this? My heart, I want you to love Eddie. Can I do it? Can I do this?
No.
It doesn't work this way. Actually, the one who directs your heart to love a person is the one who holds the hearts. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As fi Sahih Muslim, he says, "Inna qulub bani Adam bayna usbu'ayni min asabi ar-Rahman." The hearts of the children of Adam are two fingers of the fingers of Allah. We believe that Allah has fingers. We believe that. But how they look like, we don't know. Should we visualize? No, we don't.
So it's nothing like his
creation.
Nothing
is like him. Nothing is like him. And whatever you visualize is beyond that. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. So our hearts...
Define that, what you just said from the Quran. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ
شَيْءٍ. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah.
There's nothing like Allah.
Nothing like Allah once it comes to His essence. Nothing like Allah once it comes to His actions. Nothing like Allah once it comes to His names. Nothing like Allah once it comes to His attributes.
He don't look like us. We don't look like Him. None of it. You don't compare Allah to any of His creation.
لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٌ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٌ. Yes, our hearts are between two fingers of Allah. He rotates them the way that He wants. Here is that concept of love works, sister. Listen to this. Hadith al-Bukhari. Hadith Abi Hurairah, radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى يَا جِبْرِيلِ. If Allah loves a servant of His, He will call upon Jibreel. Jibreel, the archangel. Jibreel had a خلق عظيم. The Prophet ﷺ saw him at one stage, 600 wings. He blocked the horizon. Ya Jibreel, O Jibreel, إني أحب فلانا ابن فلان. I love so the son of so. Imagine Allah saying your name. You know, in Facebook right now, you know, you get these messages. This person mentioned your name.
You get excited.
You get excited. And you're right.
Imagine Allah is mentioning you.
Allah mentioning your name. Somebody really, you know, a companion whose name is Ubay ibn Ka'b. Al-Hadith al-Bukhari, Kitab al-Tafsir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called upon him and he said, Ya Ubay, O Ubay. Ubay al-Sahabi, the companion, the one who led the Taraweeh at the time of Umar, led the Muslims in Taraweeh. Ya Ubay, Inna Allah amarani an aqra' alayka surat al-bayyinah. Allah commanded me to recite to you Surah Al-Bayyinah. لَلَمْ يَكُنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. You know what Ubay said? Ya Rasul Allah, أَسَمَّانِي اللَّهُ لَكِ. Did Allah name me to you? Who am I for Allah to name me? Imagine, sister, if Allah loves you, He will call upon Jibreel, I love so, the daughter of so. Jibreel love him. Jibreel will call upon the dwellers of the heavens, the angels. Allah loves so and so, I want you to love them. Here it is. Here is what ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then the acceptance of that person will be placed in the hearts of the believers in earth. But now, how will Allah love you when you are disobeying Him? How? Come on. Let's make sense. How? Just please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, if you seek the pleasure of Allah, Allah will get the people liking you. Your family will like you. Your family will love you. And this is what is meant by this hadith. مَنْ أَرْضَ النَّاسَ بِسَخَطِ اللَّهِ. Whoever tries to please people at the expense of Allah, the displeasure of Allah, Allah will turn their hearts against that person. وَمَنْ أَسْخَطَ النَّاسَ بِرِضَ اللَّهِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ. And if you end up making people unhappy because you're trying to please your Lord, the Prophet did not say that Allah is going to make them. No, he said Allah will protect you from the people. They are not going to harm you. Yes, we love our parents. Yes, we like our friends. We like to be accepted by them. There is no question about it. But listen, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no human being entitled to obedience which comes at the expense of the disobedience of Allah. Is as simple as that. We tell the sister, come on, do it. Do it for the sake of Allah. Like you said, this world is so short. You always say, I always hear you saying that, it is so short. We could die tomorrow. Ya Ukhti, you're dying tomorrow without a hijab. Allah will ask you about why. Because I was trying to please my friends. I'm trying to please the society. I'm trying to please my family. I'm telling you, this answer is not going to pay off.
Now, what can the brother do also? Because we look at the sisters, but let's take to account some of the husbands also. So let's say the husband at home, should he be making his house an environment of Quran? He makes his house. Now, let's say he wants his wife to wear hijab, but he's got, you know, baseball, football, and Xbox all day. You don't hear the adhan, let's say. He's like coming around, but at the same time, look, we don't want to, again, like be judgmental, and we're being gentle with this, obviously, because we love. You know, love the people, so we want to, you know, give the best advice. So what about the brother now also? Should he be talking more about Ahira, having like open up like the books and let's say Riyad Salihin or some of the books of knowledge and talking with his wife, mentioning Allah more, the Quran every day, maybe have a little halakha in the morning, things like this. I don't know. You give us the advice.
I mean, I will, but shall I tell you something that is relevant to the hijab?
Please tell us.
The appearance.
Mm-hmm.
This is a command.
Yeah, it's a command for the man.
It's a command.
Yeah.
No question about it. أَعْفُ اللِّحَى وَقُصُ الشَّارِبُ وَخَالِفُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارِ. If we're asking the sister to show like this, why? I mean, if the brother is shaved, then I'm sorry. I mean, begin with that.
Okay.
I mean, have this. But add to this, establishing your Muslim home like a Muslim home.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the Prophet ﷺ banned us from having dogs. Are you having dogs at home? Remove them. Pictures. Why? Because Allah, the knower of the unseen, told us angels will not enter this house. Angels will not enter this house. Now, what is going on with all these music videos and CDs and all that stuff? Come on. let's work together to have our Muslim homes established according to the way of Islam. Not just the appearance in the outside, when we go outside, but inside the house. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the man is the one who needs to make these calls. So don't ask the sister just to wear the hijab when you are weak in the other end and your home is not set right to...
Get with Huda TV,
yes.
Peace TV,
yes.
Watch the Deen Show.
Right,
the things of benefit, yes, because yes. If you're sitting and watching R-rated movies, you're watching things that are no benefit, you got a whole collection of DVDs, CVDs of all the pop stars, these people ain't going to help increase your iman.
No.
That's going to bring you down, isn't it?
Take you down.
Take you down. Oh, so yeah. Like clean these things up.
And add to this, Eddie, you will be asked about this time.
Yeah, time.
Yes.
Time management.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Na'matani, that's the hadith. في كتاب الرقاق صحيح البخاري نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفرق. There are two bounties regarding which people, the majority of people are losers once it comes to these two bounties because they are not utilizing them well. Being healthy, that because when you're healthy you could do more stuff, and having time at your hand. Now you sit in front of the TV for 2 hours, 3 hours watching a movie. Come on, you're going to be asked about this time in the day of resurrection. Allah will ask you, the Prophet Hadith Abi Barz al-Aslami في المسند وفي السنن, that the feet of the son of Adam will not move until he's asked about four things, and the other wording five things, about his umr, about his life, how did he spend it?
Come on. Yeah. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more to conclude here on the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Death and the Day of Judgment, the mercy of Allah, these are the things that finally made me realize there is no time to delay anymore. I wanted to take my shahada right then.
The essence of spirituality is to become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplate death itself. It is very, very scary, but it brings you back to reality. There is a life which is everlasting in the hereafter. And you have to make a conscious decision of which group of people do you want to be of, the people of heaven or the people of hell.
Allahu Akbar.
Back here on the Deen Show, and we're answering the sister's question, and we want to help encourage the people so we can all be in Jannah together and avoid the hellfire. And everything that the Creator has told us to do, it's good for us, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's because some people think, man, it's all rigid, man. It's a bunch of do's and don'ts. Everything's haram, Sheikh. Everything's, I can't have no fun now. What do you got to say about this?
Submission.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean, submission? Submission that you give up your whims and desires. And listen, the religion is so straightforward about it. Okay? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ. This world is the prison of a believer, in the sense of you don't have, your choices are somehow somewhat limited. But you see, you don't understand. There is a kickoff. You actually find happiness and joy in that concept. When you jail yourself, because at the end of the day, you're trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like they say, happiness is irrelevant, really. It has nothing to do with what you have. It has nothing to do with the person who smokes, I mean, weed, for example, to be happy. For him to continue to be happy, he has to smoke more and more and more and more. He has to increase.
Yeah.
He has to double up. He has to change the type. Submission, the more that you submit, the same exact thing. The more that you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find pleasure and happiness.
And it's good for you, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Tell us, can we give an example? The person who wants a master's degree, a GED, a PhD, he's submitting to what the professor has told him to do. He's studying. He's leaving off partying.
Right.
He's sacrificing because he wants that title so you get the job,
yes,
make money, bankroll, and then he can enjoy. So aren't we like living a wholesome, good life? So at the end, we can get Jannah, so we can obey Allah. Because aren't these good things that now the woman's out there flaunting herself, you know, she's dressing provocative. Man ain't going to respect her. Pimp her. You know, she's going to be out there, you know, being masqueraded, a commodity, right? Just for man's pleasures. And at the same time, look, you're drinking, smoking weed. These things destroy you. So the things, lying, deceiving, everything that Allah, the Creator, told us to do, those are things that are good for us. And the things that He told us to stay away from are just things that aren't good for the human being. Isn't that right?
You know, I go back to the hijab
yeah.
for the sister, you know, as long as we chose to cover this. Something very interesting mentioned in that verse in Surah Al-Ahzab about the hijab. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَن يُعْرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. Because you brought this up.
Yes.
So when the sister wears the hijab, and by the way, the hijab is not the scarf, okay? The hijab is modesty. There are 7 conditions for this hijab to exist. She must be wearing garments that is baggy. It cannot be of color that gets attention. It cannot mimic.
Tight jeans?
لا.
No.
That's not hijab.
No.
You see, a sister who places a scarf on and then tight jeans, that's not hijab. She's just covering her hair.
Yeah.
No, hijab is a concept. The sister reflecting modesty.
Modesty.
Wait, yes.
Modesty.
She's not getting attention. And I want to go back here to this point and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that they are not known to be that type that you mentioned, that you can pick on.
Yeah.
Imagine getting on a metro and you find a nun. You ever entertain the thought of flirting with a nun?
You might look, but you don't keep looking, right?
You're not even going to think about it. The same exact thing for the sisters. That is what is meant. So the women cannot be used as a commodity. I'm not saying that every woman, let's be fair, not every woman who dresses this way, she's after that. I'm not saying this. But there are wicked people out there. And I'm not saying...
So it's a protection.
Yes.
It's a protection.
It's immunity.
Yeah.
It's immunity. And she will find pleasure in this. Wallahi, I'll never forget this answer. I was in a seminar. In a debate with non-Muslims. And we had Muslim audience. And one of the people asked me this question about how can you force women in that hot weather? We were in a hot, in the summer, to dress like this. And I told her, I answered her my best, and one of our Muslim sisters asked us to say something. She said exactly what you said a minute ago. The heat of the hellfire is far worse. I'd rather do it here than... قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. Come on, let's submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a requirement for a Muslim woman. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been the way it is since one of the, we had this Yemeni sister who got that peace, Nobel or some kind of.
Yeah. I remember that.
She made a very interesting comment and she said, come on, guys. I mean, you talk about the human race developing, from nudity and now top of the line that they actually... Because how they present Adam and Eve, that they were naked and they were having little things around their bodies. Yeah. And then they show us in the movies that when they developed, they started dressed and... I reached the top of the line.
I reached the top.
I loved it.
That was the Muslim woman who won she win? The Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, Nobel Peace, Yemeni.
Some kind of award.
I don't recall her. I mean.
She said, I came to the top now. With the hijab.
I mean, that statement for non-Muslims, that's fine. I mean, to address non-Muslims with that, it's fine. But, for me as a student of knowledge, I have other ways to present the hijab to people. But I think she hit it right there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. You teach in your schools that Adam and his offspring developed, and you showed that the top of the line that they actually got dressed. Well, guess what? I'm covering up.
Yeah.
And look at the icon of Maryam, the icon of...
Jesus' mother. They all had
sisters. I mean, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I want to tell the sisters this, صنفان من أهل النار لم أرهما. Hadith from Sahih Muslim, that there are two types of people that I did not see. We know that the Prophet ﷺ went and he saw Jannah and he saw Hellfire. Mm-hmm. He saw there are two types of people I did not see in the dunya yet, in the world yet, but I saw them in the Hellfire. And he mentioned women walking, kasiyat, ariyat. Yes, they wear clothes, but they are not wearing anything.
Yeah.
An icon of temptation. Come on, Muslim sister.
Before we go, just we have 1 minute left. Tell us, can the sister now start to, we know she's obviously 5 pillars you got to be doing and praying 5 times a day, worshiping Allah alone, zakat, hajj. Now, for the hijab, can she, if she's wearing like tight jeans, hijab, obviously you mentioned character, So it doesn't matter now you're in hijab, smoking, foul language, doesn't work, right?
Modesty. Right.
So now, can she leave off the jeans and start, let's say she didn't, because people think it's just the covering here. Could she just start to wear, the loose, what is it called? The jilbab, from here that's loose, and then start to work her way up to progress, to wearing it. She's timid. Baby steps?
I don't want to say this because... Yeah.
Or just do it.
لا. You see, Rasul...
Right now after the show, just put it on.
Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this.
Yeah.
Whatever Allah commands you to do, you need to do it.
Do it.
Do it. I cannot tell somebody, pray two times and then three times and four times.
I see, yeah. So...
It's a command. وَالْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَمْرِ Here is the people of... You know, the basis in it. الْأَصْلُ فِي الْأَمْرِ الْوُجُوبِ عَلَى الْحَتْمِ وَالْفَوْرِ By default, when there is a command in the Quran and the Sunnah, it must be carried out right away.
Yeah.
As long as you don't have something, an obstacle that stops you,
yeah,
your ability. That's the ruling.
Thank you, Sheikh, so much. Thank you for being with me. May Allah reward you. Look forward to having you back again, inshallah. And some more great, wonderful advice. And for our sisters, we love you, but Allah loves you the most. He loves you more than your parents. He loves you more than anyone, and He knows what's best for you. So let's work hard in this life to please our Creator before we meet our Creator, because death is a reality. And then there's the Day of Judgment. And then there's the hellfire and paradise. So we want to be people of paradise. Allah is the most loving and merciful. Make dua to Him. Repent to Him alone. No intermediaries. We don't need to go to a confession box. We don't need to pray through anybody. Direct dial-up. We call on the Creator alone and ask Him to make it easy and commit. And believe me, Allah will facilitate a way. Get up in the night and pray one tear. Allah will open up doors you couldn't even imagine because He loves you. But do you love Him? That's the question. If you love Him, you got to obey Him. So let's work hard in this life so we can be successful in this life and have Jannah in the next. We'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Don't forget to pick up the new Dunya to Deen and call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM to get the verbatim word of God, the Quran, for free. Or even to, if you are not yet Muslim, everyone has the potential to submit only to God, the one God, the same God that Jesus worshiped. You want to worship that God? Call us right now at this number. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.